with Dion and Alan.
So, Alan, you've been telling us that God is love. And, you know, I believe that. It resonates with me. But one of the problems I have, I mean, even in Genesis that we've been concentrating on, is that we encounter instances where God doesn't seem quite so loving. And, you know, one of the best examples perhaps in Genesis is the story of Noah. So how could we read that particular story from this perspective?
Well, thank you for introducing the story of Noah's Ark, because it's such a wonderful illustration of the fact that God really is love. Now, the authors of the story are taking a risk. What they do is they paint God in the way that the popular understanding of God consisted of, namely that God was a wrathful, vengeful, violent God, pretty much like a Babylonian God, as we've discussed in previous programs. So they say that God wipes everyone else with a flood and spares just a handful. And then we read these incredible words that God says, "I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature. And when the bow is in the clouds," now what we call a rainbow was in actual fact a bow meaning a weapon, like a bow and arrow. So the story is basically the disarmament of God. It's God saying, I don't know if you remember the story where there's evil, there's violence, and God is so upset that then we read that God wipes everybody out. But no sooner has the flood receded, people are, again, wicked as can be. So that violence didn't work. And what the authors do, they take a great risk. They say, we're going to write this story characterizing God in the popular understanding that God is violent and wrathful. And even in this story, God actually sees the pointlessness of violence. And God says, you know what? It didn't work. I try to get rid of evil and wickedness, but it didn't work. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hang up my bow. Like a boxer hangs up his gloves, God hangs up God's bow and says, you know what? I'm never going to use violence to try and rid the world of wickedness ever again. I'm going to do it through relationship.
Wow. I mean, that really is a beautiful image of God. You know, I've never thought of that particular story in that way. And it does, you know, if we come back to those four questions and we read that and say, what does this tell us about God, about humanity, about creation, and about the relationship between them? That gives a completely different perspective on the biblical text and its intention. I think that's Jesus would say amen to that kind of reading.
I'm glad you brought in Jesus there, because remember, that's what we got to ask. We believe that Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is God in the flesh. If you cannot imagine Jesus wiping people out with a flood, which I cannot imagine, Jesus even forgave the people crucifying him. So Jesus would not be wiping out an entire community or nation with a flood. So if we cannot see Jesus doing it, we cannot see God doing it, because we believe God and Jesus are one and the same. In this way, we're seeing that God hangs up his bow and says no more. Violence, God can't even make good use out of violence. And if God can't make good use out of violence, then none of us can. So we should all hang up our bows, hang up our knives, hang up our guns, hang up our bombs, and do the Jesus thing. That begin to pray for change and work for change, placing our trust in love as the most powerful power in this world.
And of course, also, as we said, you know, when you go back from the private to the political, you know, working for justice. And I think, you know, Alan, the thing that's becoming clearer and clearer for me with this way of reading the scripture is that, you know, we sometimes get so caught up in the smallness of fact that we miss the big truth. And this is another way of reading this text where we can see truth is bigger than fact.
Absolutely. Truth is larger than fact. And so the story of Noah's Ark is true. It's absolutely true. I don't know if it happened that way or not, but it's true. What is the truth that we learn? We learn about a God who will know, who will not trust in force to bring about change in this world, that will trust relationship. And we're going to move into that when we see the relationship soon with that God begins with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And as God asks for partners and says, through partnership, I want to transform you and the world.
That sounds fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to moving into that.
Listen to more teachings and discussions at www.mannaandmercy.org or connect with us by texting a message to +27 782 785 300.